Turn with me to the 12th Psalm. Probably seems a little bit unusual for this time of year, but Psalm 12, looking initially at the first verse. Remember, I commented early on that the early Psalms are Psalms of David for the most part, and he seems to be in extremity in these early Psalms. This is no exception. Psalm 12, a Psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. I really want to look at the very, very, very beginning of that, which is help, Lord. So this is really a cry to God, and it is repeated frequently in the scriptures. It could be translated, save, Lord. We see it in Psalm 118, verse 25. Save now, I pray. This phrase is sprinkled throughout the scriptures. We see it certainly in the New Testament. We see the disciples in the boat saying, Lord, save us. Matthew 8, Peter sinking in the sea out of sight, so to speak, at night. And he says, Lord, save me. So there is this cry that goes up. And this is David, and we see it elsewhere. I think it's right to say that this is the essence of prayer. Prayer is not our prayer list, per se. It is our cry out to God. It is the SOS that goes out to God. It is the foghorn at night, so to speak, that says, where are you? I can't see you right now. I have a need that is far greater than I am. And so the believer has this cry as the essence then of his cry of his life standing before God. What is the source of that cry? I'm not speaking now of the surrounding circumstances per se. Those can be various, from large to small. The Lord Jesus, in fact, rebukes the disciples in the boat, says, well, don't you know, you're not going to sink with me here. And so it seemed large to them, and so many things seem large to us that may or may not in fact be. But the fact is that the believer has an earnest need to cry out for that which he does not have ability for. So the believer knows at various points that he does not have it within himself for those things that he has need of. There is a self-humbling that occurs in order to cry out in such a way. In the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus enters Jerusalem and they cry, Hosanna, that is, save now. It's another instance of that, save now, Lord. And, you know, they were strewing branches. You have to bend down to put the branches out before the Lord Jesus. And certainly they did. And the believer, when he prays like this, you can't keep a straight back. You can't be self-sufficient in such times. The save now is a recognition of lack of sufficiency. of I can't do this on my own. I'm in over my head at this point. So that is where the believer is in prayer at all times. And the fact is that this is where the believer is, and God is kind to answer such calls. We see that here in verse 5. The Lord says, "Now I will arise. Now I will arise." There is a promise of God's answer. And for the believer, we see this in the generality, the big picture of the scriptures. Jesus' coming itself is the answer to the prayer of "Save now." The coming of the Lord Jesus is the answer. We see that in Exodus when God's people are crying out in Egypt, and way over in Midian, there is this burning bush, and God says to Moses, "I have heard the cry of my people. I will come down," and he comes down in the person of Moses, essentially. So there is a cry that sounds like this, and there is a response in the person then of God coming to save his people. He comes to set those ones at liberty who are oppressed. The Lord Jesus, in his initial public ministry, reads from Isaiah 61 to that effect. He himself is that salvation that is cried out for. And so we call in great need. The answer is Christ himself for us. Christ in his coming, and he himself comes lowly. And we say, well, I want an answer that looks like what I can envision. And very seldom does it come in that way. But he does come. He promises that he will come. He comes in his Son, and he comes in power. And we have great need of that coming. And we have great need ourselves to come to him. So often we spend our time either with a straight back or stepping back in unbelief. And our job as believers is to cry out. Our job as believers is not to solve our own problems first, but to live from him and to him. That is job one, so to speak. If we are looking to him in the in-betweens, now we will find that he is coming to us. Let's close this session with prayer.